Welcome to another episode of Whoa, Black Beauty, Bambalam. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, are the best people on the planet, Anonymous Alex and Jenna. How are y'all?
Lim.
You know, because the media that we did was so buck wild this time, we had to bring the only person we ever bring with us when we do buck wild things. Like, read Twilight. We brought Keiki with us this time.
Hello.
How are you, Keiki?
I'm good. I'm so excited.
This movie. We watched a version of Black Beauty this time that I didn't know existed.
Me either.
I have a lot of questions about.
Can we just state before we let the rest of this podcast go on that we gave Casey the choice to pick the good one or this one?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we should state that.
Yeah. I was like, I've seen the Alan Cumming version. I'm sure at least Alex and Jenna have seen the Alan Cumming version. I have not seen this 2015 version of beloved literary classic Black Beauty. Let's watch it. Turns out the only thing it has in common with Black Beauty is the title.
So. Yeah. Yeah, this was, you said it was 2015, this version?
Yeah.
Which did star Luke Perry. So I thought when I saw that, well, this is going to be a real movie. You know what? I'll just let Keiki recap it for you and tell you what happened.
Okay. Audrey volunteers at the animal shelter, except she left the leashes on the dogs and she washes her hands weird, so there's that. Someone surrenders a dirty horse, which she names Beauty. He won't come out of his trailer because he's afraid of sunlight, potentially a vampire. She washes him with a sponge, and when she reaches some spur wounds on his side, he kicks her. The shelter lady says they don't have room for him and will transfer him unless someone adopts him. Audrey's parents are Kirkland Brand, Gwyneth Paltrow, and a nerdy but kind of hot dad. Her dad tells her to go make more friends and gets mad when they find out she got kicked. Apparently, when she was a kid, she fell off a horse and broke her leg, so he bans her from seeing the horse again. But Dad, I'm not a child, I'm 16! She ignores him and meets with a vet, who tells her his leg is fucked and he's gotta be put down, so she calls her grandpa and begs him to take the horse. He shows up the next morning, gets the horse, and invites her to stay at his ranch for the summer. She's very happy and has a L'Oreal moment in the car on the drive there. Immediately upon pulling into the ranch, there's a sexy ranch hand named Josh. She heals Beauty with meds, which are medicine, and ointment, and helps out with the ranch animals. Then one morning, she sleeps in too late, and Grandpa gets Josh's help with something instead of her, and she gets mad because she can do everything that a boy can do, and he lectures her about oversleeping and how the animals have to be fed early. There's some kind of a montage. Grandpa's friend Cody comes over to check out Beauty and assures him that they could be nursed back to health, and Audrey paints a fence. And there's other stuff that happens. There's chickens. Audrey's mom shows up in completely impractical footwear and they go to a church barbecue. The pastor tells him about a 4-H competition that benefits a program where sick children can hang out with retired horses. I want to hang out with retired horses too. Audrey wants to enter, but Grandpa points out some fancy girl named Blythe wins every year. Audrey goes to tell Josh she's entering Beauty in the competition, but he's flirting with another girl, and she goes to run away in embarrassment, but slams into Blythe, who calls her a clumsy cow, and she has to go home because she's so embarrassed and awkward. She tells everybody she's awkward a lot. Audrey and Josh talk about how bitchy Blythe is, and Josh talks about his sister, and Audrey gets Beauty into the sun, proving that he's not actually a vampire. Turns out the girl that Josh was flirting with at the barbecue is his sister Tally, and she agrees to help with the 4-H competition. The men build a fence, and the girls spray each other with a hose. Audrey becomes friends with Tally and Josh's friends. Audrey and Josh take Beauty for a walk to the lake. Josh wants her to stay at the ranch, but she says her dad won't let her. Grandpa takes Audrey to buy English tack. Blythe is there and calls Audrey awkward, and Audrey runs away because she is awkward! Grandpa makes her feel better, and Audrey bitches to Tally and Josh. They help her train Beauty, and she tries to mount Beauty, and she falls off, and Josh touches her boob, and then she gets back up and rides Beauty, and it's great. Cody says he is competition ready. Audrey's parents show up to visit. Audrey tells her dad how much she loves her ranch, and she has friends now, and she wants to stay. And dad's like, no, I'm the dad, you're the daughter, you have to do what I say. And she's like, I hate you, and she runs off. That night, she rides Beauty, and the dad watches and then apologizes. She agrees to finish school before moving to the ranch. Dad's icy heart is melted by the magic of the ranch, and he apologized to Grandpa. Competition day. I don't know what they're doing, but Beauty walks and runs around in the circle, and everyone's like, oh my god, that's so cool. Blythe is there with her giant chestnut and scowls at Audrey a lot. Then the sunlight comes out and Beauty freaks out. Audrey dismounts to comfort him, which disqualifies her from the competition. But it's okay because their family and friends still love them, and that's the real prize. Blythe throws a hissy fit because everyone is cheering for Audrey and Beauty. Audrey says goodbye to everyone, and she's driving away to go home with her parents, and Beauty runs and jumps the fence, and Josh is like, we're going to need a taller fence, and that's the movie.
Amazing.
He stays because he wants to.
That recap was 1,000 times better than the movie.
It was so fucking good. People might be encouraged to watch this movie now.
Oh, God. Oh, no. What have you done?
I was like, I remember I even said at one point during this movie, which did star Luke Perry, again, and the Senator from X-Men. So I thought it was going to be a real movie.
It wasn't. I was like, I'm the bad guy from Polly, the movie about the parrot that talks.
So I'm sitting there. I'm like, they can make a horse girl movie for like $6. Like, that had to have been the budget of this movie. Like, was this made for TV? Did it make it into, like, was this a straight to DVD?
It was made for Family Channel. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either, but instead of being filmed on an iPhone, I think this was filmed on a flip phone too.
Yeah.
Well, except what about those aerial shots where somebody clearly is just jumping on a trampoline and they slowed it down?
Yeah, I was thinking they tied the phone to a balloon and just like let it go. Honestly, and they're like, we'll find it later with the footage.
Genuinely, the City Street shot, I think you are 1,000% correct that that's what they did. Like, yeah, no
it
joke.
Was awful.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like 6 and 7 year old girls need to demand more from the movies that they watch than this. This was unbelievably terrible.
Yeah.
And like, normally I can have a lot of fun. Like, I want to like stuff. We talked about this. I can have a lot of fun. This was just bad top to bottom. Like, nothing. There were no redeeming qualities about this movie.
I had fun live tweeting it to you guys.
Yeah. Okay. The redeeming qualities of this movie are get somebody who knows about horses to watch the movie and then just listen to them go off about everything that's wrong.
I really enjoyed watching a 28-year-old woman play a 16-year-old girl and call a 34-year-old woman mom. That was my favorite part of it. Honestly, like, I enjoyed that.
Jenna was screaming at the TV, they're the same age! They're the same age!
What about the scene, though, where they did get teens, which were the high school mean girls, to get in the car and had her turn around and, like...
Anytime there were actual teens on the screen, like the bonfire scene, anytime she's hanging out with her new best friend, I was just like, can you not... This is what a 16-year-old looks like. This not a fucking grown woman with two children. Come on.
Oh, no.
They're like, well, it's fine. The CW does it. No. The CW puts on tons of makeup and does a lot of After Effects. Get with it. They have a budget.
If this, whatever this movie's budget was, it had to have been 97% going to Luke Perry.
Oh, it had to have been, yeah.
See, I thought that he maybe got arrested and had to do community service.
Oh, okay. My first theory was that one of his friends from childhood decided to make a movie and he felt obligated.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that could be too. And like, especially when I thought at the beginning that he was going to be in one scene because they kept excusing, like, oh, my dad couldn't make it. I'm like, he's never showing up again. This makes total sense. And then he came to his second set and I was like, how did they afford this?
He got like a character arc and everything.
Yeah.
Do you know any of the other media that Luke Perry has been in, Alex?
Let's not talk about it.
No.
Oh, okay.
But also okay. No, like genuinely. I looked at it, literally when I saw him come on screen, I said, that's Luke Perry. But let me tell you, the only reason I knew it was because I was like, that guy's acting, the rest of them are just there. Like, yeah. And like, so he would do something, like even the way, like, I started like really getting into like breaking it down, but like he was at dinner, like on his cell phone, even the way he'd like casually sling himself at the table and be on the phone and deliver his line, like, well, somebody's got to make money around here, versus like, come on, mom, I've got to go to grandpa's to be with the horse. And then her mom being like, my dear, you're right, you have to go. And then he'd just be like, someone's got to fucking do their job around here. And it's like, I'm like, that's Luke Perry. I can tell.
It's because he wasn't acting. Who? He was like, somebody's got to fucking do their job around here. Jesus right? Christ.
He was just bitching about the set.
Yeah.
Without, after the quiz, I'm going to tell you the one reason you should know who Luke Perry is.
Was he in Free Willy?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what's coming in the quiz. Today
to recover.
That was your chaser.
I was like, I need a good child movie.
You were gonna watch it anyway.
Yeah, but I just need a good movie about bonding with a wild animal, okay?
I don't listen. Okay, who is the worst at acting? For me, it's between Blythe and Tally, the little sister, because Blythe was not good, but she was trying. Tally said shit, and I did not understand what the fuck she was saying, because A, she wasn't mic'd, because randomly side characters were not mic'd, and B, she mush mouth. I was just like, are you just like someone's kid? Like, are you like the director's kid that they let be in the movie? What's going on here?
But what about why is he Cajun Josh?
Okay. Okay, four comments. Then I just got to deliver them all because it's going to all happen around here. Yes, she was the absolute worst. Did you see every time she went to go hug anybody, she kept moving where her hands were supposed to go in the same shot. why did Josh have that accent? And why was he the way that he was? Also, why not only were some just not mic'd up, sometimes they'd boost the mic on one and not the other for no reason.
The scene and with then, the vet?
Oh my God.
Yeah. The audio mix. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh. Hold on. Okay, I've got one audio thing that just absolutely, how does this even happen? But before that, Blythe was clearly the worst actor. Like, if there was an achievement for exceptionally bad acting, it was Blythe in this movie to me. Like, this is so over the top. Like, this is like a parody of Evil Horse Girl. Like, it's such a joke. I'm like, Ashley Green, you are not. Or Ashley Grant, you are not. Ashley Green. When the judge lady goes up, and they obviously have the voiceover of her walking up, and she's like, walks up and she's like, what kind of horse is it? Okay, I need you to turn around now. And I'm like, why did you even include the question if nobody was going to answer it? Like, why did you?
I answered the question.
Yeah,
I was like, nobody even responded. Nobody even flinched like there was a question asked. Like, it was so terrible. Like, how does that even get included?
There was so much about... Let's break down the 4-H competition overall for just one. Oh my God. God.
The whole time I was like, Alex has notes. Alex has notes, so get ready for notes.
I didn't have to take notes. My rage knew no bounds in this moment. Like... First of all, I had no idea the entire fucking movie if they were getting ready for a ground class or a riding class, because they're talking about like in hand squaring up, all that shit. First of all, didn't even come into play. Didn't do that once. Then they get into the fucking class and I'm like, oh, this is little kids like lead line class. That's when they come up and they're wearing the pigtails with like the ribbons, and the judge comes up and asks, what do you like most about your horse, and like blah blah blah. But then they had the little girl, they had the novice rider, kind of made sense even though she was an adult. Then they fucking had Blythe in there and I'm like, is she not an accomplished rider? Then fucking move on, now we're doing ground class, we're doing hunt seat class, something like that, except they go in the ring one at a time. So what is this, a fucking dressage class? No, because they're not doing the same thing, and they're calling the walk, trot, canter. So I'm like, they would all be in there fucking together. This makes zero sense. Then they finally put them all in there together. I was like, okay, maybe that was like a weird like rails class that they were trying to like, because sometimes they'll do that where like you go in, they're like, we're going to pretend there's a jump course because you're going to learn what a jump course is like. So you go in alone with your horse and do your, that, not what was happening. Threw them all in together. I'm like, finally, making some sense, making some sense. And then the sun came out and decimated the horse. And I'm like, what is this? What the fuck is happening? And also, why, if you're going to braid your horse, which no one else did, which it's 4-H, so either you absolutely should if you're doing hunter, or you absolutely should not because, like, they've asked you not to. One horse was braided. It was the main one with purple ribbon braided incorrectly. It was not, it was a running long maned horse braid, which was not what was correct. They had fucking purple pads as well. The tail braid was incorrect. They fucked that up completely. Then they put fucking fleece purple wraps on the horse for no fucking reason in a hunt seat class. None of it made fucking sense. I was like, what are any of you doing here? Like, why? Just why?
This is literally word for word everything that I yelled at this movie yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I heard every bit of it from Tim.
Yeah. I was like, braid, hunt seat. I don't even remember all the terms that she just said.
Like, and listen, I know some of this is picky, okay? And it is 4-H, so well, that is okay, kids hold on. Learning. But...
You say that some of it is picky. There are times when you can absolutely look at stuff and just be like, this is wrong. I don't even know. Wrong. Yeah, I don't even know the subject matter. And this is wrong.
And it wasn't even like if they had braided like the tail wrong, because it's a $5 budget and they don't. It's literally the budget would have been blown on a braider because it's $40 day of in that was in 1990. I can't imagine what it is today, probably $100 for the day. So they would have blown the budget. But like, if you're gonna braid the horse's tail, don't do it crooked and don't do it the way that you did, which is like, you clearly don't know how to braid. Like, you just did your best of shoving hair into a thing and banding it and trying to make it look like a braid. Like,
they were like, it can't be different than braiding a human's hair. And guess what? It fucking is. It like super fucking is.
This is why I can't ever imagine Alex being my boss at anything. Like, just the idea of her walking into a room and being like, don't do it the way you did. And then just turning around and walking out, I'd be like, I am shattered as a human.
I would help you before that. Here's the thing. I would help you. If I walked in, if I was on that set and I saw them braiding like that, I'd say, okay, this doesn't look quite right. Even just from like a sort of visual movie perspective, that braid is at an angle, which you know is incorrect because it looks bad. So like, let's take a step back and discuss what we're going to do here, knowing that we can't get the braid in, we can leave it loose like every other horse on this set and no one will know the difference then. Like, so not only have I come in, offered to guide you, come up with a contingency plan, none of which happened on the set of this movie. Like, they just let that go.
Yeah. You know why it was braided, right? Because they probably showed up with a place, like at a place with horses, like some event. We're like, hey, can we borrow your horses for a few minutes?
The shots were all from a legitimate 4-H competition up until they had to ride.
I'm sure they had like, hey, I'll give you $20 if we can ride your horse for a few minutes.
Dude, my favorite part about when they showed up and they're like doing all the establishing shots was it was like, here's a shot of buckskin. Here's a different shot of that same buckskin. Here's the buckskin again. And here's the buckskin from a different angle. And I'm just like, this is a beautiful horse. But like, the sense of scale is not here.
But what about when they got a different rider to pet the horse so it looked like a second buckskin?
That was so good. There was one shot where it had like a whole lot of horses lined up. And one of them big bad boys was a big old Brooklyn Supreme. I was like, damn, that's a yes. Big old horse.
There's a big boy.
We had a big argument. No, I shouldn't call it an argument. A big question about where it was filmed.
Oh, yeah? Did you find out?
Yeah, we were... No, and actually, I'm going to look it up right now.
I did. It was Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was okay. Rhode Island. That's
yeah, because I think the city was Hartford?
Maybe.
I just assumed it was Canada. City.
Yeah.
Heartland has ruined us all. It's all Canada. There was
everything is Canada.
Yep.
I was gonna say there was some accent issues going on, but like I don't think any of them were Canadian issues.
No, there were random fucking Southern people, and then the one preacher was like Southern Boston. And I don't mean the southern part of Boston. I mean, he was sometimes Southern and sometimes Boston.
It literally sounded like Austin trying to do the accent.
Yeah.
That was so wild.
It was such a bad movie.
Oh, my God.
Like, and like, you know, it you may think that. Because obviously we're all horse experts here. We've all been around horses our entire life. Every mm-hmm. one of us knows everything about yeah. horses. That we're being a little picky about, like, you know, the horse events and stuff. No, the whole freaking movie was hot garbage.
Yeah.
None of it was put together well.
Mm-hmm. And Josh yeah. wasn't that hot.
No, Josh wasn't hot at all. Well,
no, sorry, he was horrible.
He's fine. It's fine.
No, he was terrible. You can say it.
He may have actually been 16, and that's why it was so awkward every time he had a scene with the main
chick. Sure, sure.
That's probably why they never actually kissed.
Yeah. It was just that one little, like, awkward, like, arm straight hug.
Every hug in this film.
I think you're right.
It was so awkward.
Oh, my God. So we were talking during the movie, and Tim was, like, saying that Bruce Davison, like, he didn't know how they got him because he was such a yeah. great actor and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, first of all, no. Second of all, have your eyes been on the screen the whole time? Because every time he looks at his granddaughter, it's fucking creepy.
Yes!
Oh, fucking yes! creepy. He looks the her up and shot. Down every single time.
No,
it's great to have a female voice around the house again.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? So I said that he was a great actor. I know that I'd seen him in a bunch of things. The only thing that I could remember was as a senator from X-Men. And I remember really hating him as a senator from X-Men.
Yeah,
like,
he was
like sold that character to a point where I'm like, I do not like
slimy.
This.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it was a miscast because he was supposed to be a wholesome grandpapa.
Mm. Yeah.
They should have gotten Jack from Heartland.
Oh, he's such a good, wholesome grandpa.
Oh, yeah, but like how awesome. Like, I could absolutely see Jack from Heartland and Luke Perry in the father-grandfather dynamic. Like, that would have worked so good for me. Yeah.
And, okay, let me introduce, if we have to get an older woman to play a 16-year-old child, let's get Anna Paquin up in that mix.
Actually, I might believe that she could be 16 at times.
Yeah, she's great.
No. No. She could actually play the mom, though.
She could play the mom, but I want her to have the starring role of this very strange film.
She's forever rogue in my head.
Yes.
And that's why I'm saying she could probably get away from, like, for me, she could get away with playing.
Tim, I feel like you and I are hurtling towards we should have just watched X-Men.
That's what X-Men 97 either just came out or is about to come out. And I'm like, I want to go and rewatch all of X-Men 92 now. And then I want to watch that. But instead I watched this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Sorry.
We'll never get that time back.
Never be sorry.
No.
It destroyed me, this movie, and I appreciate it.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
So I definitely thought the horse was a mare for like 3/4 of the movie because everybody kept misgendering the horse and they didn't like reshoot those.
That happened in the first like 10 minutes of the movie where one person said her and one person said him right in the mm-hmm. same conversation. And I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I what think because when I, so this is what I think happened. And this is just from me watching it while still attempting to work. So don't like super quote me on this. I think because it was supposed to be he for Beauty, but I'm pretty sure that was a mare and I'm pretty sure they only used one horse the entire fucking movie.
I did see a hog, though, when he was running around in the
arena.
So that's when I was like, oh, it is a gelding. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because every time I would look over, I'd be like, I don't think so.
Strange that Casey's not talking about the scene with the pigs.
That I was super confused for like 1 second. And I was like, did she mean this? I don't think that's what she meant.
Oh, no.
Oh, just speaking of ancillary animals, can I tell you another thing? The other hog scene. So one more thing that drove me nuts the entire time is when they had the first conversation about how they had to fix up some of the fencing around there. They were standing in front of a dilapidated chicken coop. And they revisited it 14 times, and not once did they fix the fucking fencing on the chicken coop.
Mm, the chicken coop, the fencing is not, it wasn't broken.
It wasn't a fence. It was collapsed. It was plastic fencing at a fucking angle that the chickens had to barely walk out of. Like, they could just walk right over it.
But also, what?
The giant metal fence that kept falling on Josh.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the corral fence.
Yeah. But Grandpa and Josh fixing the fence that was... Why are you putting old fucking disaster boards back into the fence? Why have you just dug a hole around one of the posts? You're not actually, like, fixing anything, and we can tell that. Like, we can tell that.
Yeah.
And it's not just the giant old ass cobweb that's attached to it that's telling us this.
And also, Grandpa was pushing and Josh was pulling. Yeah. So they were working against each other the entire time.
Everything was wrong.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. You go back to maybe some of this is nitpicky. Well, it wouldn't have been nitpicky and we wouldn't have noticed it if there wasn't so many things wrong. Like, I can let a lot of things go if I'm rolling through a movie. Not everybody gets everything right. But when you get everything wrong.
Yeah. If you're like, going to get everything wrong, make it a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I point out one thing
that drove me out the wall? Many things.
Yeah. Okay. Literally every movie, every TV show does this. So I will give it a pass somewhat. But there is a specific stock sound effect of a crowd cheering where there's like a very distinct like whistle that happens a little bit into it. You will hear this. I'll send you a video that like points it out. You will hear this on every single fucking thing that you ever watch from now on. They played it 6 times in a row and I was ready to shoot someone.
Mm-hmm. I like the scene where they paid for the one thing of music so they let the entire song play and then put it on the radio in the background right afterwards.
Yeah. Smooth.
Should put the dogs in with the leashes still on.
Yes! I was so angry.
Yeah.
You don't fucking do that! They could get caught on something! That was chain-length kennels! Like, you dumb bitch! Don't do that!
What about, did we at any point establish just how, like, awkward she was and how she liked humans more than people and how she was in the city, but her heart was in the country?
Yeah.
I don't know. She went off and off about it.
She told me repeatedly she was awkward. Yes, Tim,
I also caught that.
Did you? Okay.
What did happened? Did I screw up some of my words?
You just said that she liked humans more than people. And then I was curious what the difference is.
She likes animals more than people. She likes animals more than people. I'm sorry. She said it so many times that words are meaningless to me now.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah, she definitely told us and didn't show us.
Yeah.
Yep.
So many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because she had no interactions with people because this had a cast of about 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the scene in the Dover Saddlery, I think it was.
Yes, oh, it was.
Dude, I love that scene so much. This is why I don't think Blythe is the worst, because I absolutely love this scene. She comes in and she tells 2 grown men off with like no fucks given. And I'm like, this is kind of amazing.
The thing that got me about that scene so much was she came in and like everything she said represented her as like a powerhouse. I'm so good. I'm so great. You suck. You're going to lose. And then the ending note was, get me that whip. I'm too short to reach it.
Right.
I did. That was pretty good. Grandpa turns around. He's like, I think you need to learn some manners. And she's basically like, well, you can suck my dick, old man.
Yeah.
I was like, and I love how Audrey was like, she was Blythe was coming at Audrey with some insult, and Grandpa was like, hey, back off. And Audrey's like, I can take care of it myself. And then Blythe calls her awkward, and she runs out of the store crying. Devastating wit just ended her.
And Grandpa has to go buy the saddle.
Yeah, if I had been Grandpa, I'd have been like, no. No, like, legitimately, you cannot. You cannot handle this audit. Like, she said one word to you, and you crack like an egg.
She said one word to you and you cracked like a egg.
What a terrible movie.
That movie was delightful and awful at the same time. If you watch bad movies, make sure you watch them with your friends. It makes it a lot more fun.
Oh my god.
And this one's free on YouTube, so.
It is.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, Alex. What do you have for horse news for us?
I have great news, and it's that I've decided not to give you horse news today because I did something a little extra with this film, and it was read the comments, and I just really need to read those off for you.
Oh my god.
Because they are as good as the movie. So here we go, from 1 year ago. I love the country, trees, birds, squirrels, farm animals, horses, etc. It is all God's creation, a breath of fresh air, very satisfying to my soul, a gift from the Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the help of his Holy Spirit of God, just like the Bible says. That is the full comment.
Wow. But let me,
listen, we don't have to stop here. Let's move on to the next one. The greatest pride I have at 83 years old is the privilege of watching 3, 4, 5, 7, and 10 years old kids riding horses that are 15 hands high with their parents' help. These young kids are riding and sometimes falling when the horse gets a little bucking, and yet get back up and remount their horses like nothing ever happened. That's what it takes in a little rural area called Choctaw Nation, Southeast Oklahoma.
What?
I have more. Okay.
Comments.
This was another favorite. I heart the horse black beauty, my horse video. I heart to watch God created all animals and people. I heart Christian movies. Thank you. Praying hands, 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 praying hands. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up.
What is with all this God shit?
I know.
Did
y'all catch one reference to anything religious in this movie?
They said they prayed at dinner.
Let's eat.
They did not say a prayer at dinner. Like, they very much
the
did
first
not.
Dinner.
Like, maybe at the first dinner. But at the second one, he's like, let's say grace. And then everybody took hands, and then they were like, oh, okay, let's eat. And I was sitting there thinking, like, was that the prayer?
Yep. Yeah, Grandpa pretty much said, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat.
Oh, man. Yeah, but all these comments very, very much like this. Here's another one. I have to read you two more. This one and then one more. So this one is probably my favorite because of a typo. This was a beautiful movie. It makes you wonder why people are so cruel to animals. But then again, you have to gain that edible's trust for the healing to start. I actually cried during this movie. It was a blessed, beautiful movie. Makes you open your eyes. Love always, Ronald.
Thanks, Ronald.
Thanks, Ronald.
Yeah, you gotta gain that edible's trust, Alex.
You gotta get that edible's trust. That's how you get the healing to start. I actually cried. And then this comment, too, which is just my favorite. Luke Perry sure is missed.
Oh.
Yeah, fair and true.
Yep. Comments go on. There's so many. They just keep giving back.
I can't believe that many people watch this movie enough to make comments.
There's pages of comments on here. Like, yeah. I've been scrolling this whole time, and there's still more comments.
That is this buck wild.
Almost a period saddle. I give it a 5 out of 10.
What?
In advance, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 3. Comments are so good.
Oh my god, the Christians love this movie.
Oh,
there's nothing bad in it.
There's this is good. Okay, here's like a scathing comment. Do you guys want one of those?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh,
Jesus.
Standard schmaltzy movie with nothing at all in common with the classic horse story Black Beauty. Very disappointing. They just used the name and had a black horse. I would probably have loved this movie when I was a little kid who didn't know any better. Definitely a family movie. Wish it had actually been the story of Black Beauty, though. Horse scenes were disappointing as well. Writers and directors so clearly didn't know anything about horses, their training, or handling. I keep hoping I'll find an actual good horse movie mixed in with all the pap on YouTube, but you get what you pay for. Sigh.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Accurate.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
And then somebody, where are you located in a... Nothing else. Just ends there. So there you go. Enjoy some comments. Enjoy some movie.
Oh, my God. Gain that edibles trust.
You gain that edibles trust. That's where the healing begins. Love you, Ronald.
All right, Jenna. Now that we've enjoyed movie and comments, it is time for quiz.
All right, we can do that. Are you guys, like, truly ready for a horse quiz?
Yes.
No.
No, hold on. Hold on. No. All right, never mind. It's got fewer than 50 ratings. I was going to say, I had to pull it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I had to know, oh. Right? This, it has a 42% audience score.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
How?
I think that whoever directed this played it at their church and made every single person review it.
Yeah.
And still somehow only got 42%.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Now I'm picturing this as like a widely distributed like church movie.
Maybe.
Just made a bunch of DVDs and drove around all the churches in the city and dropped them off.
Yeah,
or like the riding camps that they have that are like church group related. Mm-hmm. And this is what they watch at night when they're doing like their cowboy camping thing.
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Oh my god. All right. Yeah, sorry, I had to look. So for the quiz, are you ready for piece of media? Yes. Number one.
Yes.
All right. Number one is a 2019 comedy drama film.
That could be anything.
Could be anything.
Cats.
Could be anything. To be fair, we already know the through line.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but I don't know who Luke Perry is. I just met him today.
This is my first day.
When did he die? I thought it was before 2019.
I think it was 2019.
Was
it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole pandemic. Well, the only movie I saw in 2019 was Cats, so I'm gonna say Cats.
No, it's not Cats.
Damn. Shit.
No, I have no idea. We're gonna need more clues.
All right. I'm not giving you any of that information because I think it just gives away too much. All right. In February 1969, Hollywood actor Rick Dalton, the former star of 1950s Western show Bounty Law, copes with a fading career.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, Tim.
I don't remember Luke Perry being in that. But...
yes. He, in fact, was.
Good job, Tim.
I didn't even know that was a comedy.
Well,
yeah, it had its moments.
It's pretty funny sometimes.
The Brad Pitt, Bruce Lee stuff was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready for number two?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think you'll get some of these.
I don't think so.
I think you'll at least have heard of some of these.
Oh, that's good.
No.
And there are five, so.
Okay.
Number two is a 1997 English language French science fiction action film.
Wow. That's a lot of adjectives.
That's so many words, yeah.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
No.
Hunger
Literally
like the
only
wolf.
French movie that I know.
Well, it's a besides, like, it's an Amelie. English movie, French movie.
Hold on. Somebody restart, Alex.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
English
movie. It's an English spoken French movie.
It's about people, not humans.
Science fiction.
French science fiction. Oh, maybe it's the what? Robot body of the horse who went to college. Fuck Dunkirk. What? No.
What is happening?
War horse.
I don't Thank know you. Any of the things that have been said in the past like minute.
How did you get anything out of that, Casey? The robot
Joey!
College?
I think we discussed Warhorse on an episode of AA. I think that predated you. And we just like talked about Warhorse for like 20 minutes. It was great. Because that movie is amazing.
Joey. That's the horse's Joey. Name.
The horse named Joey.
Yeah, and he had to go to college. They had to pay for him to go to college.
Another okay. one.
Yeah.
Okay. Primarily set in the 23rd century, the film's central plot involves around the survival of planet Earth, which becomes the responsibility of one man after a young woman falls into his car.
Planet of the Apes.
Fifth Element?
Yeah, Casey.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah.
Dang, that's a good one.
Who is he in Fifth Element?
He's the one dude. What's his name? Oh, give me a minute. Hold on. Billy Masterson. The dude with the gun.
Dude with the...
You know.
I only remember Bruce Willis. Lilu.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman. And that's it. And the opera lady. Yeah, Chris Tucker. That's the third one that I just called the guy.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then the opera lady.
I do think I remember him being in that one.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was a French movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Multipass.
He knows it's a multipass.
We should watch that soon for something, for some reason.
That's a great movie. That was... The first actual date I went on was to go see The Fifth Element.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's the last date you ever go on, too? Just really bookend it.
That's
the only date.
I'm just going to be watching that one day and just be like, well, shit.
This is how it ends.
This is the last date.
Save the last date.
The lights come up in the theater. You're sitting alone, crying in a seat.
That got very Shia LaBeouf for me.
Okay, what's my next one?
All right. Number three is a 1994 American contemporary Western biographical drama film directed by John G. Avildsen.
Tombstone.
8 seconds.
Tim.
Yeah.
There's no fucking world, no universe in which I was not including that movie because it is one of my favorite movies to ever be made ever. I fucking love it.
Never heard.
As soon as there was a cow that ran across the screen while Luke Perry was on the screen, and Jenna was just like, 8 seconds!
You know he's remembering it right now!
Alex, I'm with you. I've never seen a movie.
I don't even know what this movie... I've never even heard of this movie.
Have you ever heard of a young man named Lane Frost?
No.
Oh.
You probably wouldn't
have. We're going to watch this movie.
Okay, next episode of Horse Girls, we watch this movie.
Actually, that's not bad. We could watch
it. Fuck you, yeah.
Okay.
If it's a Western, it's got to have horses in it.
That's my bet. There's a cow in it.
There's a cow in it.
I don't know that it... Is what I would call a typical Western.
It's not a Western. It's a rodeo movie.
Yeah, it's
there's probably
it is a Western, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not your typical like cowboy movie though.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's barrel racing in it.
Ooh, yes.
So it counts.
Sweet,
I think it's fun.
Counts.
Yeah, we can watch 8 seconds for the next one. I'm in for that.
Eight seconds to Mars.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask the title 18 more times before we get there. I'll do my best.
Eight seconds.
Well, because you have to stay in the bowl for 8 seconds. That makes perfect fucking sense.
Oh,
there you
travel thing.
Well,
thought I could only see like 8 seconds into the future, like that one movie with Nick Cage.
I think now, like, I could see 8 seconds into the future now. Like, are we in it?
Knowing.
Ooh. Knowing, yeah. Knowing.
Yes.
I thought you were like trying to make the cow sound lowing. Anyway, number four. Number four is a 1992 American comedy vampire film directed by Fran Rubel Kazooie.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
God damn it, Tim.
Tim's seen every Luke Perry movie.
As it turns out, Alexander.
Yeah.
You played a vampire hunter in Thoughts for Autism.
Yeah. This is making sense.
Boyfriend, who I named Luke Perry.
You did.
Who was a regular ass human, which was a goof from that movie.
Mm-hmm. This is Luke Perry all coming. Played her boyfriend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All coming together for me. Okay. Yeah.
Which is something that we can watch on Hearst Girls.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yay! I'm in.
Yay.
Do you guys want the fifth one? Because Tim's going to get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Fifth one is an American teen drama television series created by Darren Star and produced by Aaron Spelling.
I didn't think
Spelling
you would do it.
Under his production company, Spelling Television.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. Oh, you mean his literal most popular work?
That's why I thought you wouldn't do it.
Oh, my I've God. Seen none of those things.
That hurts my body and my mind and my heart and my soul and probably the wind and the air and the earth as well and somewhere water.
I actually think I liked Luke Perry in pretty much everything he did.
Everything he's been in.
Yeah,
even this movie, really like, good. I still liked him in this. He was still fucking great.
Yeah, he was the only
the movie
part.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
He was good in this. Like, legit. It was like watching a professional actor fuck around with people who don't know what they're doing.
Circles around
That's,
everyone else.
Yeah, that scene with that him was, and the chick who the played situation. The mom sitting there doing that little flirt scene. Like, that was really good. And it wasn't her that was good in that scene, but he was making that scene good. Yeah.
I really want to know the story of how he got onto this show.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I do too. Like, desperately, I want to know how we ended up making that.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the horse afraid of the sun?
A horse is afraid of the sun. That's a thing that would happen temporarily with the mine ponies. But
mine ponies?
Mining ponies. They'd have them down, mine carts for like a couple of years, and then they'd turn them out, and they'd be afraid of the sun for like a day. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah.
Acclimation.
All right, that exists.
I remember the sun.
There's times that I've done it, though.
Being afraid of the sun?
Yeah, I've turned around and been like, what the fuck? And then it was just the sun above me.
All right, I'm not a vampire anymore.
Yeah.
I looked at the sun today.
Oh, no.
That sounds like the start of like a 16-year-old girl's poem. That's the vibe. That was the energy I got right there.
I've been staring at the sun instead of in the mirror.
I looked at the sun today.
I thought it was the start of like an I Am Number 4 book.
Maybe it could be the start of one of Austin's Marco Polo messages. My dearest Agatha, I looked at the sun today.
It reminded me of you.
It's going to be the new late starters thing. You all look into the sun. Lightning crashes. That's right. It's sun lightning.
Sun lightning.
Sun lightning's terrifying.
You know what sun lightning would be? Like a
solar
great
flare.
Thing?
Oh, okay.
It would be a great name for a horse in the barn, Alex.
You think so?
Yep.
Which one would you suddenly call sun lightning?
The next patron that we get that can't come up with a name.
Okay, let's do a quick run through to see how that would all sound. So, of course, we have our horses, Moose Jaw McGraw, Big Thick Martingale, and Beta Ray Philly. And those horses are awesome and in a very clean barn, even though we're going to say it's abandoned and then show up and it's top of the line, but whatever. Then we have High Lava SpaghettiOs from Nate, Iron Meriden from Philip D. Keating, Dale Donuts the Third from Steve, who I've never doxed once in my entire life, Dimebag from Matt Alman, who I've met once in my entire life, Marital Combat from Metastrophe, who gets a metal name every time, Glue Factory from Bean, who just forged some wedding rings, which is pretty fucking metal, Pony Hawk from Olivia, Sun Lightning, and then Ronnie from Scott. Did it work? Did it sound good?
Yeah, no, it sounds great. It sounds great. I think it'll do great.
Hell, I love it. Yeah. Singlethoughtconnection.com, THOT. Go sign up. You can get Sun Lightning.
Which out of that group, which were people and which were humans?
I think the people were the humans we met along the way.
That's the most Alex t-shirt I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
So Late Starters is really fun. We just mentioned that.
Did we just mention that?
Yeah, like 10 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. I'm Paul Blart, king of the Segway. The Paul Blart of Segways is what I am.
Nope,
Paul,
you're king of the Segway.
Paul Blart podcasting.
Wait.
The Paul Blart of podcasting.
You are Paul Blart, king of the Segways. All shall love Tim and despair.
Late Starters Patreon. Go look into that. But also, we mentioned Thoughts for Atu. Go join the D&DB Patreon so you can hear what we were talking about, because it was awesome. Here. That was all I was trying to say with my Paul Blart moment. I'm going to ride my little segue over to the part where Alex does an outro now.
Yeah, well, Alex is going to take your segue and flip the handlebars around and watch as you scooch right along, because normally what I say at the end is, isn't our art hella cute? That's right. It was created by KCD, who writes and illustrates a webcomic called Beside You, which you can read for free at BesideYouComic.com. Normally I say that, but you know what? We have Casey here today. Tell me about your webcomic. Tell me about what you do and your life and your hopes and your dreams.
Ew. Hi, I'm Casey. I do podcasts with these cool people, like Late Starters, and I'm doing a brief stint on D&DB. We're doing the Horcrux Chronicles. I'm on that. I'm on Hearst Girls, which is in the Horse Girls Patreon, which is, we talk about Twilight. It's super awesome. Probably some other stuff. I can't think of it right now. I also write and illustrate a webcomic called Beside You, which you can read for free at BSIDEYOUComic.com or AloofTroop.com, which is the fucking best URL I've ever heard in my life. And top of some webtoons. And I also have a Patreon for me, myself, and me, myself. Patreon.com/KCD Studios. Fucking, we got all the Patreons. Just gather them in your arms and caress them and hold them like little babies and help us do our cool shit. That's what I have to say about that.
Don't put them in Alex's human hands.
Too many.
Because
like a
there's
bouquet
too
of details.
Many for her human hands.
They're so small. Tiny hints. We love your tiny hints.
Patron in my All right. Well, I guess this brings our podcast to an end. Similarly to the way that I would have ended the stint of that girl riding in the 4-H competition if she showed up in a purple pad to my judging. But I guess it's a free-for-all today, so thanks for listening to Horse Girls. If you want to know when new episodes are posted or share your observations of this positively academic podcast, follow us on Facebook at Horse Girls Podcast, Twitter and Instagram at Horse Girls Cast. And if you want to buy some radical shirts and things, visit DuckDuckJenna.com, America's most beloved search engine to search for one thing, and that's Horse Girls merch. We already told you about SingleThoughtConnection.com, right? THOT? That's right, that's where you can go to get a metal horse in the barn, or you can find other stuff like content, which is like Hearst Girls, which we've been telling you about the whole time. Listen to me, for once. Anyways, do you want to find us another podcast? You can. Do you like TTRPGs? Me too. Check out Dungeons & Drakenbeams, Late Starters, and Dragon Knight Adventure Friends. Knight, like the night sky. Do not put a K in there. I know, this is all foreshadowing of what's coming up. If you like Animorphs, check out Animorphs Anonymous. Surprise, we also do Surprise Deck Book Club. Here we are, the moment the foreshadowing will pay off. Go to twitch.tv/JennaChill with one singular L And if you put the second L in there, I will take it. I will rip it out of there. I will pin it to your shirt like a scarlet letter kind of thing. And I will make you march around wearing that L forever. And everyone will know that you put the second L not into Google, which is where you should put it, but into twitch.tv/JennaChill with one singular L. Do not make me do this thing. I will not be gentle about it. Anyways, if you like me can't get enough of Tim's beautiful Appalachian voice, he hates it when I say that, he's voice acted on such podcasts as The Way We Haunt Now. And if you think our episode art is hella cute, that's right, it fucking is, and Casey is here tonight. Go read her webcomic for free, BSIDEYOUcomic.com. May the nuts ever stick to your roof.
If anybody came around with the scarlet L, I would just yell, L'adulterer! L'adulterer! At them.
You gotta do it in a French accent, though.
L'adulterer!
L'adulterer!
Sorry, French people.
Casey coming in hot with the real French accent.
No!